is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice
and be glad. Man, I love it. That was evenly spread around the whole church. So thank you. It was like getting that in stereo. Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 16. And Psalm 16 is our scripture reading for today. And today's message is discover the source of your joy as we focus on joy in the Advent season. In Psalm 16, we'll read from verses 7 through 11. And I hear pages turning, so I'll wait just a minute. Psalm 16, verse 7 through 11. And it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Now pay attention to the last verse here. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen? Man, let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, last week, how many of you went and thought about praying for your enemies? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just kind of asking. Anybody go out and pray for their enemies? Well, I did. And I don't have a lot of people I consider enemies, and I still don't know that I prayed for my enemies so much as I prayed for people that that I just may have held things against. So you can call it an enemy or whatever. But I thought, man, as we read these things, they're tough to do. They are tough to live out for each and every one of us, myself included. But I hope you guys at least went home and thought about it. And I thought, and I hope you thought about those people you hold things against possibly. I mean, after all, that's our challenge week after week when we come here. That's my challenge to you guys and myself, is that we take the message given out of God's Word, and then we take it and we apply it. Because to come sit and hear it and walk away and do nothing is what James talked about when he said, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Or you're like someone that looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets themselves. So we can't come just hear this message. We have to hear it, go home and think about it and process it and figure out how we can apply that to our lives. How can we apply this message? There's a lot of pages in here. But how can we apply this message to our life? Because it matters. It matters to us. So in reading this psalm, I love what it has to say here. And I want you guys to mark it, keep your finger in it, whatever. Just be able to bounce back to it. Because at the end of the message, we're going to come back and look at that. But he says, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, and my flesh also will rest in hope. And I love that, but I love verse 11 that I read. It says, you will show me the path of life. And he's trying to show us if we'll just listen and then follow. In your presence is fullness of joy. And Jesus Christ came so that we can have many things, but that we can have those in fullness and in depth. In your presence is fullness of joy. And I just love that. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you will. And I'll reference a couple other spots. You can turn there, or you can just write it down in the back of your bulletin or make notes somewhere. But if you would turn to Philippians chapter 4. And we'll talk about our joy. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And I thought how interesting that it puts those together to rejoice in the Lord always and let your gentleness be known to all men. But it was worth repeating to him. Rejoice in the Lord. Always again I will say rejoice. And it probably was because they needed to be reminded. Just like many times we need to be reminded to rejoice. Sometimes we think, I've just got so many things coming up against me, it's hard for me to rejoice. For Christians, our joy is different than non-Christians. And I want to be very careful how I say this. Really, for following Christians, our joy is different than weaker Christians. It got very silent all of a sudden. But that's because when we're weak Christians, we don't have the depth of that. We don't have the depth of the understanding to know our joy comes from knowing Him, regardless of our situation. Regardless of our situation, our joy comes through Him. And weaker Christians tend to immediately go back to the situation and the circumstances. How can I have joy when I'm faced with this? We spoke, I believe it was last week, about trials that we go through. Trials and tribulations and the things that come against us. We talked about loving others in those situations. We talked about finding peace in those situations. About finding hope in those situations. And today we talk about finding joy in those situations. When issues and trials and tribulations and illness and disease and death and finances and all those different things, when they come against us and they occur in our life, it's at that time we should be pressing in to God and to the Word of God. It's those times, and it's those times a lot for weaker Christians that they look and say, but this told me. Did you read the fine print? It told me I get one free. Did you read the rest of the message that said you must buy one at regular price? Hey, I've been in retail 30-some years. If I had a nickel for each person that walked up and said, this sign says, get one free. I said, can you read right above that in big giant print where it says, buy one at regular price, get one free? And, oh, I didn't see that. I mean, literally, I don't exaggerate. The same font here. But there's other parts to go to this message. And we want to hang on to the one thing that would really fit our situation best. God says He will do this. Did you read all the parts that you need to do so that He will do that? He says He will give me this. Well, yes, but you must give Him many things in return, mostly yourself. Mostly yourself. But we have to press into Him when these things come against us to find His peace and His comfort and for us to find our joy. We've talked in the past about joy, and joy, happiness comes from circumstances usually and things. Oh, I have this, it made me happy until I broke it. Now I'm no longer happy because it's useless. But joy comes from the middle of it. It comes from the middle of being in the middle of Christ and Him being surrounded in our lives. We have to come to an understanding that God is God, and He alone needed that event to take place. That's a hard thing to understand. But I prayed that this would happen or that this wouldn't happen, and God allowed it. Then He knew He needed to do that to accomplish His will. And we don't always understand that. And we don't always want to understand that. I really don't care why you took this person from me, because now I'm alone. Now I'm desperate. Now I'm lost. But God reminds us constantly. He says, you are not lost. You are not alone. And you are not desperate. Remember last week? What can separate us from the love of Jesus? Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. God is God, and He needs these events to happen to accomplish His will. Jesus Christ, at the age of 33, was hung on a cross, was crucified. Anyone else think He probably had a lot more years to go to accomplish some work? He could have taught more people. But God needed Him 3 years into His ministry to accomplish His will. Now, replace Jesus and put any one of our loved ones that God has taken from us. And do you think they're any more important to Him than Jesus Christ, His Son? We just have to understand and accept that, and that's hard. But let's read on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And it tells us to be anxious for nothing. We read this a few months back. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In our prayer time, in our pleading time with God, in our giving Him thanksgiving time, His peace will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And it tells us His peace surpasses all understanding. When we're trying and grasping at straws, and we're trying to understand that, His peace surpasses all understanding. And it's in those places we find our peace. And it's not an easy place to find for some. It's not always for us to understand His purpose for our life. He says, I do these things because I need them to happen. So it may not be for us to understand why He did this, but it is for us to understand what His plan is for us. That's the thing we need to understand. What do You have planned for me, God? I don't know why You did this, but in doing that, what is Your plan for me? Where do You need me to be? After Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, and ascended into heaven, what message did He leave with the disciples? He said, you go and you sit and you wait, and I will send you a sign, and I will send the Helper, and that will be your sign. And they went, and sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do and understand. As Christians, He's got a mission for me. What is it? He needs you to go sit and wait sometimes. It's pretty tough sometimes because we want to be doing. But the disciples went and they sat and they waited. And then they knew the time and they knew the message that Jesus had sent them. Go teach repentance of sins. Forgiveness of sins, repentance. And they knew what their work was. But they couldn't get started until He said, now it's time to go. And many times we want to start prematurely. And then when we start, we need to be sure that we do it with energy. And we do it with an intentional focus. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you can just write it down. Many of you should know it. We've talked about it the last few weeks. List the fruits of the Spirit. And right in there, with peace and love, there sits joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And we have to remember that if we have the Spirit in us, that joy should be in there. James, in addressing the churches, and James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, and he sent a letter out to the churches to be circulated. And he said in James chapter 1, you can just reference this if you want, but James chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And that kind of puts back in perspective what I was talking about, that we say the Bible tells us this, but he says, you've got to do it this way. And you've got to ask in this manner. And by the way, count it all joy when you fall into these trials. James knows all about that. He says, I've got to warn you guys that when you come to know Jesus Christ, when you come into the church, into the way, count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's a growth opportunity. And there's that word again, opportunity. When things are opportunity versus obligations, we look at them differently. We look at them with a different focus, or at least we should. Opportunity says this is a chance to grow rather than just do. And it may be growing someone else as well as ourselves. So right up front, he tells them, here's what you're going to come up against. So Matthew, turn if you would to Matthew chapter 2. And don't cheat and just look in the front of your bulletin, but Matthew chapter 2. And this is where we're going to discover the source of joy and look at one of the sources. And we'll be reading Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So it was written, it was foretold, Bethlehem is where this Savior will be born. The great ruler who will shepherd my people. And he gathered the scribes around, and he gathered those knowledgeable people around, because they had the answer. And in verse 7 it says, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And then in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they knew what would happen. They knew this was going to happen. They knew where it was going to happen, or at least roughly where it was going to happen. So they had the signs. But what did they do with that information? And so many times it's like that in our lives, that God tells us, here's what I want you to do. This is going to happen. I need this to happen. This is when it needs to happen. And we have to do something. And the wise men sought it out. They were obedient. They followed up. They kept pressing on. They stopped to ask directions, which many of us men don't. But they stopped to ask directions, say, hey, Where are we going here? But they were obedient and they followed through with that. Verse 10 again. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They knew what that meant to them in their lives and in their walk. Their joy came from their belief in the birth, their faith, and their obedience to follow that. Now, I said earlier we were going to flip back to Psalm 16, and you don't have to, but I'm going to read it again real quick. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For You will not leave me, leave my soul in Sheol. Nor will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It says, I will bless the Lord. Right there in verse 7. I will bless the Lord. We have to come together and in our private place and bless the Lord. I have set the Lord before me. We'll be real careful and gentle with this one. Many of us have set the Lord behind us and sometimes way behind us. We must set the Lord before us again here at church and in our private time. In all our time. Set the Lord before you. And it says, I shall not be moved. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We cannot be moved when we set Him before us. And then it says, my heart is glad. Where is your heart today? My flesh rests. Man, what a great peace offering that is. My flesh rests in His hope. And that's the type of rest you don't get no matter how long you sleep, by the way. And then it says, in Your presence is fullness of joy. We have to find that fullness of joy that comes no matter what our circumstances are. That doesn't mean we can't be frustrated, upset. But it says we understand that we also have joy. Our many weeks of study in Nehemiah. Many of you remember that fondly. My wife. But Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. And I love what it says in there. It says, then He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now what had happened here was they had just read the law and the high standard for the law. And they were mourning because of the low standard that they were living compared to the high standard of the law. They were convicted. And while that conviction was great, He said, man, don't worry about this now. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So no matter what, as you are going through your conviction, be strengthened by His joy. Knowing that He's continuing to work in your life and through your life. The joy of the Lord comes from your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now it comes from our obedience and our faith and our following. But really the joy of the Lord and the strength of that, that comes directly from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Is joy hard for us to have sometimes? Absolutely. It may be in us, but sometimes we suppress it a little bit and it's hard to find joy in tough situations. Think about a time where it made no sense. It made absolutely no sense at all for you to be joyful. Yet somehow, you found a peace and a joy inside of you. Possibly the death of a loved one. And it makes no sense in the midst of that to find joy. But somehow peace surrounds you and it comforts you. And you feel a little lighter with that heavy burden. That's the Spirit of God moving and operating inside each one of us. Now the hard truth. Where joy is missing in your life, and listen carefully, where joy is missing in your life, I think you'll find God is missing in that same place. And if you think about it, I think you'll agree that that makes sense. Where I don't have joy in this area of my life, I probably don't have God right there with me. And we may think about different aspects of our relationship with Christ in our journey. It may be through our worship. It may be through our prayer. Maybe through our study. All those areas can offer a different relationship with Christ and a different connectivity with Jesus Christ. But where that joy is weak, I think we'll find our relationship is weak in that area with God. But, I always like when there's a but. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? And He gives us hope. There's hope down on this end. And He gives us hope through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because where others may have dismissed us and our ability to improve, to get better, to be different, God says, that's no work at all for me. You see, I met a guy walking on the road and I blinded that guy and I brought him to his knees. And he was killing people. And he was taking people to jail that were following my son. And he changed. And if I can change that man, you've got nothing on me. This Advent season, pursue joy. Pursue peace. Pursue the hope and spread the hope and pursue love. And pursue it with energy and be intentional about it. As I mentioned in the beginning, don't just come and be hearers of the word and then leave and forget all about it. Think about it throughout the week. What was something He said that I can focus on? Not what I say, though. It's what God's word says. I'm just repeating it to you. And then find a way to apply that. And in time, those opportunities to be different will become habits. And we become better people, better ambassadors, and better reflections of Jesus Christ. Amen? Go after that joy. Pursue it. Find it. And then hang on to it. Don't give people in your life permission to take it from you. And you do that unknowingly sometimes. Allowing people to take that from you. And sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's co-workers. Sometimes it's relatives. And then in Romans it says, now may the peace of God and may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this Advent season. An opportunity to reflect, to anticipate, to expect. And we thank You for the opportunity to look at these four different areas of Your Son, Jesus Christ. The joy and the hope. The love and the peace. God, these are things that You deliver. You give us. You give us love like no human can give us. You give us peace like nothing in our lives can give us. Just like the rest we spoke of. You give us joy that circumstances and possessions cannot give us.
But God, you give us hope.
We have hope no matter where we are through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, help us as we leave today to focus on these areas, to find ways to apply them or apply them better and more often in our lives. Help us to reflect the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, the hope of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, protect us as we go out this week. Help guide our actions towards those we face. Guard our tongue and our mouth, Lord, and the things we say to those we know and don't know. Let us pursue peace in the way we speak to others. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.